This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Conveniently on X, Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm good, Gabe.
I have some Memphis things to bring up off the top, away from sports.
Okay.
How do you feel about the drive-in no longer being a thing? No more drive-ins in the city of Memphis. The summer drive-in movie theater is no longer heading into summer when people usually enjoy the drive-in movie theater. Connor's gone there the past couple of weeks to try to enjoy it before it's gone. How do we feel about that? First time since 1940 there should be no drive-in movie theaters in the city of Memphis.
The truth is, from my own personal perspective, I think I went once. I've been here since 96, so it makes, in terms of my own personal life,
sure,
absolutely no difference whatsoever.
Okay.
But I have other opinions. It obviously, I know there are those who miss it, who will miss it, and who go there. Here's the truth, and this is what Kevin Cerrito said, who was on my show today, is that if you value something in the city of Memphis, if it's a downtown restaurant or whatever it might be, what you have to do is support it. And you have to go, and you've got to spend your dollars, as opposed to bemoaning, and Connor obviously has, but as opposed to bemoaning the fact that it's gone when it's gone.
Yeah.
There are Elwood Shack on Park Avenue just closed. I used to go. I mean, I went fairly
frequently.
That hurt
me.
And so I think the lesson is, support things that you care about, or they can be gone. I don't actually think, in terms of seismic things that we will miss at the city of Memphis, I don't think the summer drive-in is necessarily one of them. It's obviously the passing of an era. I mean, Dan Conaway at the Daily Memphian, who writes a column there weekly, he wrote back when the news first came out that it was for sale. He wrote just this wonderful column sort of memories from the 50s and 60s, back when it was the place and what, you know, like that.
Right.
And so there are people for whom it looms large in their memories and in their, you know, and their sense of what Memphis once was. And obviously for them, it's the passing of an era. For me personally, this isn't the one of things that's gone that I will, I mean, honestly, like, the Oak Court Mall is gone now, right? Like that's a hell of a thing too. And I went to the Oak Court Mall a lot more than I ever went to the summer drive-in. But malls, like drive-in movie theaters, are sort of going out of fashion, and so it'll make way for something new.
Yeah. Just the drive-in idea. When you have theaters that sell concessions through the roof, you know, an upcharge of like 400, 500%. the idea of drive-ins around the country is gone. I think there's only like 300 or so left right. in the entire country. It's just tough. But at the same time, you know, a drive-in movie for a consumer actually is probably a better plan in regards to, you know, how much you're spending at the to go watch yeah, your movie
great,
of choice.
I mean, it is a sort of fun. We're at the drive-in again. I've
it's like it feels like a throwback, like a bit of a nostalgic thing.
A good way, yeah. Is it actually a good way to consume a movie when you can go and get Dolby surround sound? Mm-hmm. No, it's not a good way to consume a movie. like back in the day, it was a good way to hook up with your high school sweetheart. You know, I guess like whatever, and so. And you know, people
sounds like you have
tale.
Some experience with that. Shout out.
I have none. Like, but I mean, I did have a high school sweetheart and we just park wherever, you know, but it wasn't, I didn't drive in theaters.
Make out point. You guys were parking at
make out point. We didn't have any point over Lake Erie. Just probably some random parking lot somewhere and hope it was dark, you know, drive-ins were never a part of my youth. It feels like they were more from the Happy Days era, you know, rather than even by the 70s, they weren't, at least where I grew up, they were not a big thing. So we just used a regular old darkened movie theater and, you know, tried to get a feel in. That was about it.
All right. Now, also in some Memphis news, Gibson's Donuts, what's your take there? Ranked number 30 donut shop in the country, according to Yelp. Number 30 in the country. So that's high regard.
No, I think it's low. I think it's underrated. I mean, I think it's better than that. I think Gibson's is, I mean, you know, at this point, Gibson's is such a Memphis institution that you can wonder, is Ten Out of the Donuts really so much better than Donuts? I have no particular opinion on that. What I can tell you is that it is a happy, happy place.
Yeah.
And it is fundamentally a happy place. Because honestly, Don DeWeese, who's the longtime proprietor there, you know, you walk in there on a Saturday morning and he's throwing you a donut through the air and he's making fun of everybody. And he sort of set the spirit of the place. And so, you know, there, Alton Brown thinks that the glazed donuts from there are just magical. And who am I to disagree with Alton Brown and his take on the quality of the donut. For me, what makes it such a happy place is the spirit of the thing. And I grew up, it's a place that I grew up, you know, it was a part of, that was 100%. Like my boys will tell you that Saturday morning going to Gibson's Donuts was an absolute tradition. And I mean, I know this, I know that, In the week after Taylor Jenkins was fired, he was at Gibson's Donuts hanging out, having a good time. Because if you've been fired, what better place to go to feel better about life than Gibson's Donuts? So I think 30 is low. I've been to Voodoo Donuts in Portland, I think? I went to Voodoo Donuts. And it's a fancier donut. You know, like it's more.
I
don't need my donut to be fancy. Okay, what's the best donut?
Easily for me, without question, no even thinking about it, the blueberry donut. I love the blueberry donut.
I agree.
Oh, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's best I've ever had.
It would be in my, so I think the absolute best thing there, and I don't have any doubt about this, the best thing, if you're really indulgent, and one of the best Thanksgiving meals I've ever had is I went and I ran a turkey trot. And then I went to Gibson's after the turkey trot. So I had earned all the consumption that I could, whatever. And then I got a cup of coffee and I got an apple fritter.
Yeah.
And oh my God, those apple fritters, every little crevice and crack with it, it's just absolutely packed with sugar and deliciousness. And it's a lot, but it's, if you've run a turkey trot, the apple fritter, but then I love the blueberry, but then I like, would you call it an old fashioned, you know, it's the glaze.
Oh yeah, the old. I don't even know what they call it. It's like the throwback one.
I think it's called an old fashioned.
But it's a glazed donut. But
it's glazed donut and a glazed cake donut. Those are my favorite.
Those are good too.
Those three are the three that
See,
I like.
This is the question: do they even have like a specialty? Is there even a specialty? They're just all good. I don't think you can go wrong.
they have occasionally had some little fancy ones that they do, you know, a bacon donut or, you know, they do.
Maple bacon donut's pretty dang good, too.
That's it. The maple bacon donut they do. I know that people think highly of that. And then they do a lot of Tiger stuff, you know. They do a lot of Tiger stuff. It's funny, though. Gibson's donut is, like, at various times. I've also, like, when I had my collection of columns, I did a book signing at Gibson's Donuts. My kids played Christmas carols at Gibson's Donuts to raise money for various good causes, you know, during the Christmas season. I really have a soft spot in my heart for that place. It's a magical place.
So 30 is not high enough. Top 15, top 10, one? Where are you throwing it?
I can't say it's one.
Okay.
But I think it's a top 15 donut place.
Okay.
I think it's a top 15 donut. And I would say it's a top 10. I've once actually thought about doing a series of columns on the best place in Memphis, but then ask various people to take me to what they think is the best place in Memphis and tell me why it's the best place in Memphis, right? And where would they pick and why is it for them the best place in Memphis? And I think there is an argument that Gibson's is the best place. I would certainly put it in the top 10 of best places in Memphis. I'd also put another place that I put in the best places in Memphis, not food, but the Shelby Farms Dog Park,
yep.
I think, is one of the 10 best places in Memphis. And I don't have a complete list here, but I think Gibson's Donuts, top 15 nationally, certainly. And if you're just doing what are the single best places in Memphis, I think that is one. I think standing in front of the Civil Rights Museum, having a gut punch every time you see that wreath, and I think that is one of the best places in Memphis. I think walking across Big River Crossing,
yep,
and seeing the trains and the boats and the barges, and that clearly one of the best places in Memphis. I don't have a complete list. I can work on this stuff.
Yeah, you need to put column idea. There we go.
Yeah.
How about it?
Yeah.
All right, now Memphis, Arkansas, potentially putting together an exhibition game. Just like last year, St. Jude is trying to organize it. It was Memphis, North Carolina, Memphis, South Carolina on the women's side a year ago. But this seems like a gorgeous idea, if not for any other reason. John Calipari coming back. And the idea of former Memphis players, the CDRs, the Derrick Roses, the Antonio Andersons, all those guys, the idea of bringing those guys back, I think, is definitely a sticking point that this city could potentially rally around and even fill up the stadium more than they did a year ago.
Oh, I think there's no question that an Arkansas game with Memphis players returning will be, and plus, by the way, you'll have a longer ramp up here. Like that one,
yes,
was put together
that was very
on
quick.
Short notice. I don't have any doubt that this would be, because first of all, you're going to have Arkansas fans there, you know, among other things. And then I think Memphis fans will really want to be there. And I understand some still have some mixed feelings about Calipari. That's very clear to me. But I do think that a celebration of the players of that era and of that era generally, it does a lot of things. Well, first of all, honestly, it focuses attention and momentum on that program at a time when it's going to be an all-new team, it feels like, or whatever. Hopefully Dane Danger is going to be there. And it's nice to have something, you know, big to focus the mind and create some momentum and get the season started in a way that's with an event. It obviously raises money for St. Jude, so that's great. It puts NIL money in the pockets of the players. And, then in terms of the event itself, I just think it would be a great event. I've never been one. Like, there are people who go on and on about how petty and small Memphians are for holding a grudge against John Calipari. I've never believed that. Well, first of all, it's what every university does.
Every fan base would do, given the
it's
same
what
situation.
Every fan base would do. You know, ask LSU and Nick Saban. You know, ask Ole Miss still and Tommy Tuberville, ask Tennessee and Lane Kiffin. I mean, you know, it's basically anywhere. Or you know, Oklahoma City and Kevin Durant, Cleveland and LeBron James the first time. When your coach or your team leaves you, you're going to be resentful. And particularly when John left as he did, leaving the program literally on probation.
You know,
forget the bringing the players, because the players were only coming here to play for John. So I don't really hold that against him, but he did leave the program on probation, and he was able to disguise and keep secret the letter of inquiry from the NCAA that didn't come out until after he'd secured the job. Like, it was a pretty slick escape job by John Calipari, and I think it's fine and natural for Memphis fans to resent that. I also think it's overstated when people say, get over it, Memphis fans. You said, right. Memphis fans don't spend a moment thinking about and worrying about and hating on, like, the idea that we're that Memphians are all obsessed and have been obsessed for all these years with John is silly. Yes, typically Memphis fans would root against John in Kentucky, certainly in the early years when it was the players who would have been here if they hadn't been at Kentucky. Yeah, no one wanted to see that team win a national championship, and it's fun to root against John Calipari. The whole country does it, honestly, except for the school that he's coaching at. So I just think all of that can be overblown. But now that he has left Kentucky, he's taken some bruises himself right. At this point. It's for a good cause, and it's celebrating all the players. I think it's time, as I wrote in the column today. I think it's time, and I think it'll be a great event.
I have a thought and a question. The thought is, it's been 15-plus years. He's not with Kentucky anymore. It seems like a good time to do it. My question, though, how many people do you still talk to that really have that animosity? Because it's less and less. I don't get it very often at all.
The funny thing is, I mean, literally, I did a poll yesterday. Do you support this, you know, bringing this game in? And 94% or 93% said yes. So it'd be overwhelming. That's what I'm saying. I think this idea that all Memphians are harboring some deep-seated grudge forever is a wild overstatement. There are some, and I know that because I put the column I wrote, which said it's time to do this. I put it in the Memphis Tiger basketball Facebook page. And over there, there are people who commenting who said never, you know. Yeah.
Well, I stay out of the Memphis Tiger all the Facebook pages, but
that's probably why. Yeah. I'll duck in. I went in. You know what happens is I go and I drop in a column, and then you get the reactions to the post that I'm at. So then I see the reactions, and a good number of those reactions were never. I'll never get over. But whatever, and that's fine too. Like half of it's just for fun, you know. Here's the other thing that's happened, though. As time has gone by and you realize, you know, that era is one that will never probably be equaled, there's a real wistfulness to it, I think. You know, like, I mean, we've now had multiple coaches, none of whom have come close to having that level of success, and the hill that Memphis has to climb gets increasingly taller. And so I think there's a certain wistfulness to it, but for people of a certain age, like, that was their whole youth, you know, was watching those Tigers. And so I think it's great to celebrate that. And I think that's what would happen. It would just be a night. Now it'll be interesting how many of the players can come, how will they arrange for the players to come? Like, is St. Jude going to be flying all these players in? I bet John's not going to be flying. Like, John's never been one to do this all himself, so I don't think John's going to be flying the players in. So they'll have to figure all that out, but I think it has the promise to be great.
Yeah, and I think a fun addition to it could be like a round table discussion potentially that before or after the game, maybe at halftime. So we'll see how this all plays out. Obviously, it's not set in stone, but it seems like it's headed that direction. John Calipari mentioned it yesterday when he was on his stop here in Memphis. All right, now to the NBA playoffs. Talk with Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X. How open is the door? How ajar is the door for the Celtics to potentially win this series against the Knicks after what we saw last night? Now, I understand in the NBA playoffs we have these snap reactions. You know, the Knicks before that game last night up 3-1. Everybody left the Celtics for dead. Celtics win by 25. You feel a little bit different. You had the Luke Kornet game. Derek White drops 34. They hit 22 threes, all of that. But how open is this door for them, in your opinion?
I mean, strange things have happened. In terms of unlikely things, is it as unlikely as Denver winning game one against Oklahoma City? You know, like I don't know. Like, I think Boston can win these two games. Obviously, the Knicks have two shots at it. And if it were one game, it, you know, whatever, it's practically a coin flip. right? Honestly, but because the Knicks have two shots at it, you know, you'd expect the Knicks to do it. What I'm fascinated by, though, is just the fandom is really an excruciating thing.
Yes.
And how painful would it be to be a Knicks fan? Which would be more painful? To be a Knicks fan, to be up 3-1 over a Celtics team that doesn't have Tatum and then lose the series, right? Mm-hmm. Would that be more painful? Or would it be more painful to be a Toronto Maple Leafs fan up 2-0 against the Florida Panthers and to then go down and let's assume they lose the next one. Last night they lost 6-1 at home.
Yep.
So they've lost now three straight against the Florida Panthers, are getting booed out of their own building. Like, who's in more – with Toronto losing, and I get we're not a big hockey town, but I think anyone can understand that. Toronto, which has had a lot of struggles in the playoffs for a lot of years, finally is up 2-0 over the defending champion Panthers. And if they lose in ignominious fashion, which is worse, that or if you're the Knicks losing to the Tatumless Celtics after being up 3-1?
Again, I know a lot of people in our market don't necessarily understand it. A lot of the listenership doesn't follow hockey very closely, but it's got to be the Maple Leafs. Got to be the Maple Leafs. 1967 versus 1973. It's been longer since they've won a championship. And they were the best team in the NHL this year. It was their year. It's their year. Where the Knicks, it's like, you know, no one really gave them a real chance to beat the full-strength Celtics. Obviously, things have changed.
There's a similarity in this, though. It's been forever since either one has won a title, and they each fancy themselves as the center of the – like, New York is the center of the basketball universe, and Toronto is the center of the hockey universe. And they have these teams. Now, I don't think the Knicks are going to collapse, honestly. You know, I think the Knicks will figure out a way. But listen, Derek White, Jones, but that's still a very good team. I mean, if you're just starting to choose up players from those two teams,
yeah,
it would be pretty even. You know,
mm-hmm.
When they had Tatum, it felt like the Celtics really should have been the demonstrably better team. They weren't, but it felt like they should have been. They were up 20 in two games that they lost. Now it feels, honestly, more like a fair fight, but it so happens that the Knicks are, you know, have two shots at it, and the Celtics only have one. So, yeah, I think the Knicks will probably win. But the door is absolutely open and more than a crack.
All right, Jeff. Copy and paste question every single year. Are the Warriors done? Or is it over? Will they ever get back to this point again? We've talked about it time and time again every single season as they get to the offseason.
They can get to this point.
Sure.
Sure. Will they ever win a title again? No.
Okay.
No. But I don't think they were going to win a title this year. You know, like Steve Kerr can say that, but they were going to say it's tough. They wouldn't want a title. I don't believe it.
I think it could have got 6 or 7 games. Sure.
Sure. You could have beaten Minnesota, but then you would have met up with Oklahoma City. I don't believe you would have were going to get to the finals. And I just, you know, playoff Jimmy was not playoff Jimmy, particularly after Steph was gone. It was, you know, he was not playoff Jimmy. And that acquisition will be interesting because I don't blame them for doing it because look at the run they put together once they acquired him, right? They had a lot of fun this year. They'll be very good with Draymond, Jimmy, and Steph at the beginning of next year. But you extended him for what, 50 million, 2 more years? Like, it feels like at the end of that deal, you sort of have to do it once you've got an aging core that you want to, you know, you want to provide them the stuff to make one more run. But my God, that is a team that is going to be, you know, that is going to be long in the tooth. Now, presumably they'll do something, and maybe with Kuminga, who is a restricted free agent, and it is sort of interesting. He's obviously a talented player. Can't get on the court until Steph's hurt, but there he is last night scoring 26. So you wonder what he will ultimately bring or can ultimately bring in a sign and trade. So if they bolster that team, but I ask you this right now, not knowing what's going to happen in the rest of in the off season, and that of course is what matters. Who's going to finish higher in the West right now? The Grizzlies or the Warriors?
If they're both running it back the same, I'd say the Grizzlies.
I think the Grizzlies.
Well, and the thing is, it's just like I saw somebody ask this question on Twitter last night. They said Mike Dunleavy Jr., the GM, needs to ask this question. when you're going to acquire talent, you need to ask yourself, is this guy an NBA player without Steph? I mean,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The guys they were giving minutes to by the end of this thing. Trace Jackson Davis got around 10 minutes. Gui Santos had 15. Quentin Post. It's like their roster. Quite
Quentin
frankly,
Post did some damage against.
Well, I get it, but in the end of the day, quite frankly, the roster around the main guys stinks. It stinks on ice.
Well, it's the three main guys, right? And then it's Kuminga, Pajemski.
Yeah. Then
Moody.
Moody, maybe
sometimes he obviously didn't have a great playoff.
Looney. Shout out to Kevon Looney.
He's a free agent. Yeah. He's a free agent.
Okay.
And that's about it. We just named seven players, eight players.
Okay.
Well, how many,
right.
You know?
Well, we named seven or eight players, but by the time we got to that five to seven range, it was kind of like, maybe? Are they any good? Moses Moody? I don't know. So,
Moody's kind of iffy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they can get back to this point, but they're going to have to get some real NBA players. Just get some NBA players.
They will not win another championship, very clearly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. We'll talk again.
See you again.
Yes, sir.
Have a donut.
That is Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, we learned last week that President Trump was starting a college athletics commission, and one of the guys that was going to head it up is legendary coach, the GOAT of college football coaching, Nick Saban. Nick Saban has not spoken. He didn't speak until yesterday with Paul Feinbaum about his inclusion in the College Athletics Commission. But we'll hear what he had to say on the other side right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Back in and rolling, hour number two of the Gabe Kuhn Show. Hour number two is presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now to see the Showboats at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium at UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. They are eliminated from the playoffs, but at the same time, two of the last three games will be at home, and they are offering $2 concessions, $2 hot dogs, $2 beers. Get over there. Should be enjoyable. Bring out the family to watch the Memphis Showboats. Now let's rewind to last week. I want to rewind to last week in college athletics history. President Trump and the federal government were getting the ball rolling. by starting up a presidential commission on college athletics. They wanted to fix a lot of the things that we have issues with. NIL, too much transfer portal movement. We have to see if they're going to be employees. Is there going to be antitrust exemptions? Well, we know about the commission. And Nick Saban was reportedly one of the guys who was going to head this thing up. All of us responded by saying, hell yeah, who knows better than Nick Saban when it comes to college athletics? Well, Nick Saban had not spoken until yesterday about being involved with this commission. He was on Feinbaum yesterday. I cannot wait to hear what Nick Saban had to say about being one of the commission leaders for college athletics.
Well, first of all, I don't know a lot about the commission, first of all. Secondly, I'm not sure we really need a commission. I think that, you know, a lot of people know exactly what the issues are in college football and exactly what we need to do to fix.
Wait, what? Wait, play that. That couldn't have been right. You're going to head this thing up. President Trump and you have spoken, right? I mean, obviously. Say it again, Nick. I need to hear this.
First of all, I don't know a lot about the commission, first of all. Secondly, I'm not sure we really need a commission. I think that, you know, a lot of people know exactly what the issues are in college football and exactly what we need to do to fix them.
Okay, so the guy that was supposed to spearhead this thing for President Trump says he doesn't know about the commission and that he doesn't think they need a commission. Connor, does that give you any confidence in what we're planning here with the Presidential Commission on College Athletics?
That would be a no.
Okay, so the commission is what I thought and what we thought from the beginning. A little bit of a show of popularity, trying to attack a popular thing, with no real plan from President Trump and from the federal government. Now, do I think federal intervention is needed? Sure, that's great. But also, within this conversation that Nick Saban had with Paul Feinbaum, I watched the whole thing, about 15 minutes in total, and I want to ask a tough question, Connor, a really tough question. I know we talked with Greg McElroy earlier. We've talked with multiple people about this commission. They feel like Nick Saban is certainly a guy that could help make meaningful changes. But I'm going to ask a tough question, especially when we hold him in such high regard. Are we sure that we want Nick Saban making blanket decisions on college athletics? I ask that because I want to go through his stances, right? I want to go through where he stands on a lot of these different things. There's some good, and quite frankly, I think there's some bad. Here are his stances. One, control the transfer portal. We can all agree, transfer portal needs fixing. There's way too many guys moving around the country. Obviously, it's going to be really hard to control it without federal intervention, but, you know, the amount of guys leaving for NIL, making bad decisions. We saw the Nico Amaleava situation. It is out of hand. I agree with him. We need to control the transfer portal. He wants to set national guidelines regarding NIL. He wants to take it away from from state to state, conference to conference, school to school. He wants to make it blanket, full country, on the same page when it comes to NIL. I'm with that. I completely agree. In the state of Missouri and multiple states around the country, some of these players, as long as they sign or commit to an in-state institution, they can make NIL in high school, where other states cannot do that. It's an unfair advantage for the states that are able to do that with their high school recruits. So, like, I'm with him there. The other thing he wants to do is protect Olympic sports. For a long time, we know football and basketball have basically subsidized the rest of the Olympic sports. And in this new wave, with all the money pouring into those sports in particular, it's going to be really hard to preserve Olympic sports. So we need to find a way to make sure all those scholarship athletes can still play their sport. I'm fully with that. Those all seem good on his side. Are we all there?
I think so.
Now, also, while he likes name, image, and likeness money, he doesn't like pay for play. He doesn't necessarily like the revenue sharing idea. He likes guys being able to go get advertisements and make money using their name, image, and likeness. He doesn't like collectives. He doesn't like the money and the contracts that are being doled out when they're not doing advertisements. That's something that I think athletes and people around the country will have issues with. And here's the big thing where I tend to disagree wholeheartedly with him, because I think there's only one way to go about this. And obviously you can get antitrust exemptions, but I'm not sure the athletes or, you know, the schools and everybody will be on board with the same thing. He is not high on the employee-employer relationship. Here's a quote. He said, "I don't think it's in the interest of the players to necessarily be employees. And I think authentic name, image, and likeness is good for players, but I don't think pay for play is necessarily what we want." If you don't believe me just reading that quote, here's some sound from the Stephen A. Smith Show in March.
This college football should not be pay for play. So as happy as I am that the players have an opportunity to make some money by using their name, image, and likeness, I don't think it should be used to influence guys on where they go to school, so it shouldn't be used in recruiting. And it shouldn't become a pay-for-play, you know, device that we use professionally as coaches to get guys to come to our school or play for our team.
That was Nick Saban on the Stephen A. Smith Show in March. Not a fan of pay-for-play, also does not think guys should be employees. I will say this, and I understand there will be more people than Nick Saban making these decisions behind the scenes as we move down the path of trying to get these things under control. But what I noticed from Nick Saban's sentiments, he coached in an era where there was illegal money, under-the-table money, where he had more control over these players. He ended up getting done because of age. He said it's because of age, not because of the way things were going. He still felt like he had a hold on that Alabama program and getting guys ready for life and getting guys ready for the NFL. But what I notice from a large view, his takes are very much, in a way, putting toothpaste back in a tube, and I don't think that that's going to be feasible or possible from the athlete's side of things. They have more representation than they've ever have. They have more power than they've ever had. So in the end of the day, looking at his lack of understanding about pay for play and revenue sharing, looking at his sort of complete disagreement with people that think these guys should be employees, student athletes and, you know, the young women as well should be employees, I feel like there is some archaic old school mindsets that still perpetuate in Nick Saban's brain. Is he a guy who understands this, who wants the best for college athletics? Yes. But Connor, based on what you just heard, it seems to be, in my mind, and just based on what he's saying, it seems to me that he still has old school thoughts and wants to revert back to where we once were to a certain extent.
That's why I think Nick Saban would be a valuable piece to be helping make these decisions, but I don't think that anybody should have blanket power to be making these decisions.
Of course, and he wouldn't in these.
So right. I would want him to be a part of it, but you need new school and old school, I think, coming together to try to solve this issue. You need opinions from both eras, because I think that there are advantages to both eras. There are disadvantages to both eras. I think a lot of what Nick Saban believes in when it comes to the NIL era makes a lot of sense. The thing that I think you and I just very much disagree with him about is the pay-for-play and the employee-employer relationship. I think that to move forward and to protect the schools and the players,
and to make it all legal,
they have got to become employees. I think that has to happen because that allows you to put some more rules in place. Until that happens, it's going to feel like the Wild Wild West, like it has been. And, you know, we just had Greg McElroy on, and he said, if there's anything that you could change immediately, what would it be? It'd be the NIL,
player movement,
transfer portal. Well, to do that, you're going to have to make them employer. I do not understand how we can move forward without that happening. I understand that there are some disadvantages for the student athletes if that happens.
Yep.
But I think long term, for the health of college football, for the health of fandom, for the health of these student athletes, that is ultimately going to be the best thing.
There's a trade-off when you become an employee. You can be fired.
Right.
You have to pay more taxes. You have to pay dues to a union. You have to do all these things. But I think in the grand scheme of what we're seeing right now, that's the only way forward considering the wild, wild west we live in. You have to have more oversight and understanding of who's going to be where and how they're going to be going about their day-to-day business. I understand there's drawbacks for student athletes to being an employee. I completely get that. But in the end of the day, if you get antitrust exemptions, that could overwhelmingly be year after year tested at the Supreme Court level. and you're just going to have more and more lawsuits on your hands. Now, I get why Nick Saban and other coaches and other people do not want these guys to become employees, but as I have sat back and watched, it doesn't feel like we have much of an option. Now, you need to go sign up for LA Fitness. One, they're giving you a free 3-day trial if you go to lafitness.com. But if you're a workout warrior and you like to set PRs or you want to run a marathon, or if you're just like me, you're trying to lose some weight and keep that blood pressure down, LA Fitness is the perfect place for you. There's 7 Memphis area locations to choose from. There's always going to be one close to home and close to work. You can join for $0 down and $24.99 a month. Now, $24.99 a month is for a single club. If you want to visit all clubs, all 7, you can get a deal for $29.99 per month. They also have babysitting at the kids club for $10 a month per child. If you have paid for childcare, you know how good that is. But join now for $24.99 per month, $29.99 if you want to visit all 7 clubs, $59 annual to access any single club in the Memphis area. Membership auto renews and requires first and last month's dues at joining. Additional terms and conditions do apply. Go sign up for LA Fitness and get working out. Now let's go ahead and get to small talk. And I have an interesting question on the other side. It's about athleticism. And we're going to compare some sports and we'll get some answers. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. All right, now I want to get to a Merriam-Webster definition off the top of this conversation so we can really sort some things out. The definition for athleticism, according to Merriam-Webster, athletic ability, the combination of qualities, speed, strength, and agility that are characteristic of an athlete. Now, why do I bring up that definition? Because I want to get to the bottom of who, pound for pound, sport-wise, is more athletic. Basketball players or football players. The reason that this debate came to mind is because we have the NBA Combine going on right now. And I was looking at some of the standing verticals, and it was just kind of strange to me. We just got done with the NFL Combine, the NFL Draft, and those guys can jump 40 inches standing. It's what they do. And 32 inches, and you know, they could be 6'6", 270 doing that. But one of the biggest examples of this that I want to point out, Desmond Watson from Florida. He was a defensive tackle. I believe he's with the Bucks now, trying to make it onto that roster. 6'6", 464 pounds. We compared him to Jahni Broome at 6'10", 240. Jahni Broome finished top 3 in National Player of the Year voting last year in college basketball. Desmond Watson, at his pro day, jumped a 25-inch standing vertical. Jahni Broome, of course, from Auburn, 24.5 inches. Now, that's not good. He's being docked for it, and rightfully so. But Desmond Watson, at 6'6", 464 pounds, jumped a higher standing vertical than Jahni Broome at 6'10", 240 pounds. Now, I have a take on this, and I will always stand by this. I've stood by this a long time. But football players, to me, are more athletic and explosive pound for pound than basketball players. Now, the caveat there, basketball players can, if they train the same way, probably be on that same level, if not exceed, football players' athleticism, their explosion, and their strength. But basketball players, the reason they are in the league, in the NBA, playing well at college in college basketball, I think the physical attributes are the thing. The height, the length, the reach, all of that. That's what really gets them over the top. But I do think football players, in a general sense, because of the way they train, are more athletic pound for pound than basketball players. Connor, do you have a take?
I don't have a much different take than you. I think it's very close, but if you made me choose pound for pound which was more athletic, I would probably say football players. I think that the things they are being asked to do require just a little bit more athleticism, just because it is a gladiator battle most
yes,
of the time.
You have
and
to.
And I think that in this discussion that was created, some people are just straight up ignoring strength.
Strength
and
is
I
huge.
Think strength is a huge part of athleticism. But I do think it's very close, and I think that there are some NBA players who are more athletic than some NFL players, and there are some NFL players more athletic than
yeah,
some
sure.
NFL. It's, you know, it's case by case, but overall, I would lean slightly to football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think one thing that is underrated about football, because height is such a big deal when it comes to basketball, I do think that we underrate how huge some of these NFL players actually are.
Yes. Now, somebody brought this to my attention, tried to ask me this question. They said, for example, do you think an NCAA football offensive lineman is more athletic than a 6'7 wing in basketball? Now, what 6'7 wing are we talking about? That's the big question. Are we talking about a Larry Bird out there? Larry Bird could barely put a piece of paper under his feet when he jumped up to go dunk. You know, like, he wasn't overly athletic, but we could be talking about Derrick Jones for the Clippers. That is an athletic freak. He's unbelievable.
Peak LeBron.
Like, who are we talking about? But what I said to that person who asked about offensive linemen and their athleticism, I think considering the extra weight and strength that a 6'7 offensive lineman is throwing around, there's absolutely a conversation between those two things. I have watched on multiple occasions, we've all watched, whether it's the Combine or Pro Day, we've watched 6'7, 325-pound offensive linemen bench 400, squat 700, and run a 4'8 40, and have a standing vert of 32 inches. Like, we have seen that year after year after year. It was Will Campbell, Teron Armstead, like all these different guys who have thrived in the National Football League and in college football, they've been able to do that. So if that type of guy at the offensive line position, which is viewed as sort of the overweight position, not so athletic, if that type of guy is not considered world-class athleticism, I don't know what is considered world-class athleticism. So I want to hear out there, G_Coon71, C Dunning99, who do you think is more athletic pound for pound, football players or basketball players? And we'll talk with Kyron Samuels potentially about this on the other side, but we have some things to talk about, college football and NFL especially. He's on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.